Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 coming your way. This is episode 63. Today's going to be a fun episode. We're going to talk about testosterone esters with Bilagos Pharma. And, you know, Monster and I, we went over all the different testosterone options that Bilagos has to offer. And it's amazing how many different things they have. It will blow your mind. We're going to go over. They've got different blends. They've got different options and different milligrams per milliliter. So many different options. We're going to talk about all that stuff. We're going to go over why we have esters. We're going to talk about different esters. We're going to talk about cycling and dosing testosterone. That's going to be, we can do like 10 shows about that. Different options when it comes to stacking and all that good stuff. What we'll use in different situations, whether it be cutting, bulking, powerlifting, whatever. And then we're going to touch more on why Bilagos works so good and tell you more about them. So this is going to be a really fun show, Mobster, that we're going to do. So let's talk about testosterone. Look, it's a very effective muscle builder and androgenic agent. And guys, they'll run testosterone. I can remember my first cycle with testosterone. I ran like 500 milligrams a week. And I had some explosive gains, both muscle and strength. So our bodies naturally produce testosterone. What happens is your pituitary gland spit out hormones. They stimulate your Leydig cells, which produce testosterone. And that's what our body naturally produces. Now, when we're talking exogenous testosterone, a company like Bilagos, they come out with this exogenous testosterone in a lab. And it's taken and it replaces what your body naturally produces. But instead of your body naturally producing around 100 milligrams a week or 90 milligrams a week of testosterone, we're able to ramp up the doses 4 or 5 times the amount or more. Even like professional bodybuilders, they're running like 2000 milligrams. So they're running like 20 times what our body naturally produces, plus running other stuff. So we like to, you know, we get more in our system. You get more hormones in your system. You're able to break down the barriers to build more muscle and to build more strength. And that is really cool stuff. And we really like to see that when it comes to using anabolic steroids. We like to see the growth. We like to hit the gym and work our butts off in the gym and get good results. So all that, you know, comes into play. So really, at the end of the day, testosterone, if you have low testosterone, which a lot of people do, we've talked about it on previous shows, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be hard to lose body fat. And, you know, we can have the argument, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Was getting out of shape and doing that, you know, the insulting, you know, thing on that we see is the fat kid, you know, he's 20 years old or 25 years old. He's in mom's basement and he's on the computer all day playing video games and wasting his life away. And he's ordering pizza and he's ordering Uber and all Uber Eats and all this junk food to his house. And he just sits in the basement. He doesn't get out. He doesn't socialize. He doesn't, you know, hook up with people or something like that. He would be an example of someone who have low testosterone levels, because from a natural perspective, why would your body produce testosterone when it doesn't need it? It doesn't need it in his situation. But let's say that fat kid, which a lot of you may have been, you know, at some point. And I know with me, I got out of shape for 2 or 3 years myself. After college, I started working full time and I started getting lazy. You know, once you start making money, sometimes you get lazy. You know, I wasn't walking my dog. I had a backyard. I could just let my dog in the backyard. I didn't need to walk my backyard. I wasn't going out and doing stuff. I was just eating. I was eating what I wanted. I was going out to restaurants and eating junk food. So you start losing your testosterone. So, you know, once you get into better shape, now you start producing more testosterone again. The kid gets out of the basement, he starts working out in the gym, he starts eating good, he starts having sex, and all the hormones get going again. Now he's producing more testosterone. Well, it gets to the point when you get older, your testosterone levels drop, and then now you need. Some people are making the decision, yeah, I need to go on testosterone replacement therapy the rest of my life. So let's start using testosterone, or let's start using anabolic steroids and blasting 400 or 500 milligrams or more of testosterone a week. So that's why we use testosterone. It gives us those, it boosts protein synthesis, it binds to SHBG, does things in our body, increases the anabolism and androgenic effects of our body, which make us more able to get the body that we want. So that's the whole purpose of testosterone. So Mobster, touch on your perspective a little bit about testosterone, and we'll get into the testosterone esters that are out there and why they were created in the first place.
Yeah, one of the things we've talked about on this show, Steve, is we've discussed the literal measured drop off of testosterone in men, and to a much lesser degree, women, of course, in modern society. As we record this show, it's 2024. And on previous shows, we talked about how your great granddaddy would have had measurable, not able, you can't argue against this, that people went out there and studied this shit, measurably higher testosterone levels than your granddaddy, measurably higher testosterone levels than your daddy, and measurably higher testosterone levels than you. And the reason for that is multiple, but it comes down to pollution, stress, poor diet, lack of exercise, and so on, right? And so that's the societal thing. We know for a fact, so specific to what Steve said as well, that testosterone levels typically drop off at the rate of 1% per year once you hit 40. That means 40 is down 1%, 42, 43 down 2%, 3%, and so on and so forth. God knows what it is if you get to 80 or 90, Steve, but you can do the math, guys. You'll be down 40% from 40 and so on. So that's in Arkham. Okay, so there's the argument again, of course, Steve. Let's imagine that you have, as most steroid users tend to use, a little bit of disposable income, and you're in a position to do something about it, hence the raise and of both use of testosterone and specifically TRT type clinics. Well, again, it's very similar to HRT, hormone replacement, and arguably the phrases are interchangeable. But specifically in this example, we'll say that women do HRT and men can do TRT. And those that do argue, as a great many of them argue, about the quality of life, the way that they feel of testosterone. And this isn't necessarily someone that wants to go to the gym and kick ass and have a great bench press and a big pair of biceps. This is just someone wants to feel better about life and be successful at work as a politician, literally to have a little bit of pep, a little bit more kick and bounce in their step. So those, and again, let me associate the one that Steve Smith referred to just now when we're talking about the guy in the basement, which might be argued as a low T kind of person. For them, a little bit of testosterone, whether it's self-TRT or from a clinic, can be fucking life-transforming, transformative, Steve. Literally in the way that they feel, the sense they have about themselves, and so on and so forth. You know, the bully's always giving me shit, now I want to kick the bully's ass. Whatever, okay? And so for those people, low T, sensitive to testosterone or whatever else, it can literally be, and I'll emphasize this again, life-changing, transformative, super-duper. You know, just night and day, okay? Now, for people like myself and Steve, who are not on TRT yet, although I'm fast approaching 60 years of age, and I can see that TRT is in my not-too-distant future, our ability to go to the gym and kick ass certain periods of the year when we're on cycle, to take things from where we normally are, off cycle, post PCT, into the realms of super physiological efforts in the gym with higher levels of testosterone in our system is quite simple. I mean, I'm a big, strong guy. I do X, Y, and Z through the year off cycle. I have typically, and I use my bench press as an example again, Steve, when add. I think back in the day, every time I went on cycle, I would add 20 kilos, that's 44 pounds, to the bar. So if my best off-cycle bench was 170, my best on-cycle bench would be 190, which is a little, it's at 407 pounds. So absolutely, this the equivalent of a 10 on each side of the bar for the Americans, or 20, 25, nearly a quarter on each side of the bar for the Americans, it was a absolute given for me. I'm fortunate now that I'm still able to hit those kind of numbers, in fact, slightly higher than those kind of numbers, even at 59 years of age. For me, it's another 5 or 10% overall, Steve. And I've hit some PBs in the last 12 months, again at 59, when I've been on cycle. I'm doing really, really good stuff off cycle. So that business of training for donkey's years, eating well, being focused on training, and then using products like Biligus to boost myself up into the even higher levels, way above, in my own example, Steve, and I think the example would apply to you. We are arguably, with Steve in terms of his muscular condition and myself in terms of my strength, getting very, very, very close, Steve, to that 1%. The sheer length of time that we've been training, the way that we eat, the way that we try to look after our diets and try to stay healthy, the way that you try to be muscular, the way that I try to be strong all the time, in terms of where we are in human society, and generally speaking, or whatever else, we are certainly in the 5%. And in some cases, I would argue that we're in the 1%. And for listeners that are thinking about using testosterone, any kind of ester, as a means for health in terms of the gym, in terms of their mental well-being, et cetera, for testosterone replacement, you would be putting yourself into a certain section of a society that unfortunately no longer exists, certainly in terms of your granddaddy and your great-granddaddy. And again, so you can obviously reduce stress in life, fix your diet, and certainly get to the gym. And you're listening to the show as we are today for that very, very reason. So yeah, I think, Steve, it's underrated. And in fact, as you know, I've done an interview recently with a journalist, science journalist. You and I have talked about the impact in modern society. And as an argument to be made, I think it's becoming borderline. That was a part of the article that I did with the journalist, more acceptable, even amongst the intelligentsia, of the idea of using testosterone and in society in general. If you use steroids or testosterone years ago, you was this, you was that, but now it's going to the other direction where actors, politicians, etc., have sat down on camera, on news shows, and started to talk about how they are on testosterone, how much it's affected their life and made them feel better, and they think more men should be able to do that. So I think it's an absolute plus in that particular regard. Now, of course, a lot of our shows, and including this one, or more focus on the performance side in terms of what you're able to do in a gym, be more muscular, being stronger like Steve and I, and so on and so forth. Now, I'll touch upon the next aspect now, Steve. Please take note when I say this. I am not a chemist and I'm not a scientist. So the understanding I want to give you is going to be kind of basic in that regard. And if anybody wants to pull me up in the show notes, please do in the comments. But, and again, link to articles that are in depth. Quite simply, we've done a show in the past on the history of testosterone and specifically steroid use for gym and performance use. Okay, and we talked about the isolation of testosterone back in the day, silver and golden age bodybuilders that were using testosterone before people fought, the idea that the hormonal type products, which were probably nothing more than awful heart and lungs, Steve, dried and powdered, were being sold in bodybuilding magazines back in the day, and so on and so forth. We know also, of course, that most forms of steroids, specifically testosterone, were created for medical reasons. Now, in order for certain, the availability of some things were super short-acting. The very early forms of testosterone, methyl test seems to ring a bell, Steve, that were available to bodybuilders, athletes, and people that wanted an edge back in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, was very short. Methyl test is in and out in hours. Off the top of my head, Steve. And again, you can refer to that particular article, that particular show. So for medical reasons and for performance reasons, you wanted to slow down how quick a steroid, specifically testosterone, was in your system. You might, for example, it's no good giving a burns victim a steroid that's only in his system for a few hours. So the element of curing or enabling him to retain muscle tissue while they recover from the burn would only be a matter of hours. That's no good whatsoever. So how do you slow it down? Well, you chemically alter it. A buddy of mine back in the day, Steve, could tell you where the carbon atom was on the molecule. I can't do that, trust me. I'm not even going to try it. And it would be a little bit overcomplicated to do so in a show like this. But quite simply, you manipulate the variables in the molecule of testosterone to slow down the effect in the body. Now, we talk about esters, but we also refer to half-life. So by changing the ester, by changing their chemical molecule from one position to another position, by adding sometimes an additional, you affect the length of time that testosterone is in the system from a matter of hours into, in one example, Steve, I think we've talked about 21 to 23 days. That's way more effective when it comes to someone that you know is going to be laid up in the hospital for months in terms of a medical condition. And for our purposes, for performance enhancement purposes, it makes sense. And again, it's dependent
upon... Yeah, it's called Nabido, by the way. Nabido.
Okay, yeah. So the thing of it is, right, I'll give you an example. For TRT purposes, we want something that really only requires injecting optimally and arguably, Steve, once a fortnight. And there are arguments against obviously doing it more often. There's guys that are microdose and so on and so forth. But if you go to a TRT clinic, back in the day, Steve, it used to be once a month. Typically, it's roughly once every 14, 15 days. And that would be for TRT. Now, if you're a bodybuilder or a strength athlete like myself, you might want it a little bit more frequently. And you want to get certain effects. If you're a competing athlete, the variables are such that you could change, whether it's stress, you did a leg workout when you shouldn't do, your body's inflamed, the show's only 3 days away, what am I going to do? You're going to do stuff in and out of your system in, again, as little as a few hours, certainly 1 or 2 days, and you want to bring a person on stage looking absolutely amazing. For the typical listener, you're looking for lean muscle tissue gains to be less fat than you was before, and perhaps be slightly more athletic, have slightly better conditioning. And these could all come from different variables using different forms of testosterone. Do you want to expand on that a little bit, Steve? Because you're way more science-minded than I am.
Yeah, and you know, we mentioned the libido aspect. That's the one extreme. The other extreme is the testosterone suspension on the other end, which is in your system and within hours. And Balagas, they have everything. They have from the test suspension all the way close to the libido with the long esters. They have a testosterone decanate ester blend, which we're going to get into, which is also a very long ester. Not as long as the libido, but very, very long. Maybe like 15, 16-day half-life, which is in your system. And look, the basic thing, I'll explain it like this. You know, like everyone knows Mucinex, right? When you have like a really bad chest, a congestion or sinus infection. You go to the pharmacy and you pick up the Mucinex off the shelf. And the Mucinex, they have the 12-hour slow release and they have the 24-hour slow release, whatever. 36-hour slow release. I don't even know. I haven't been sick in so long. I haven't needed to worry about it. But my point is, why would you pick the 24-hour instead of the 12-hour? Because the 24-hour, it doesn't start working so fast, but it's in your system a long time. So you can just take it, and it will be working for a while. For a couple of days, it'll be in your system, helping break up the mucus in your system. And then the 12-hour would kick in a lot quicker, so it's a lot slower release. And again, people don't get this concept because they're used to like taking an aspirin. Oh, I have a headache. I'm going to take an aspirin. 30 minutes later, my headache is gone.
Yes.
And I'm assuming the aspirin's out of my system the next day, you know, but I don't know if it is. Well, it's different. A steroid is different. You inject the ester that you inject with these anabolics, with these testosterone esters that we're going to talk about. Again, they range from testosterone suspension, which is great for those of you, and we're going to get into it a little bit, who are a tested athlete and you don't want it detectable in your system. It's in and out of your system within hours, all the way to long ester. For those of you who want to cruise year round, or you want to use something, you know, a longer cycle. So it just depends on what you want to do. We're going to kind of go over the different esters and how they, you know, react in the body. And that's really the point. So why don't we talk a little bit more about that? So you got the testosterone suspension is basically testosterone based. And
yeah. No, before let me expand on that, Steve. No, the example that Steve gave is quite correct. We know, and the listeners know, that athletes get tested. We also know that athletes like to bend rules. So you're looking for an edge over your opponent. And we've discussed on one show when we were talking about high-end fighters doing certain particular drugs that we discussed in that show in order to absolutely kick ass when they were in the octagon or in the ring. The same applies to Olympic-level athletes. When you know that the top three, the gold winner, the silver winner, and the bronze winner, are going to get tested. And that's without the randomized testing. So what do? They use very short-acting esters, like test suspension, like Steve said. Take it early enough in the day assuming they aren't going to be tested pre-event randomly, compete in the event that they're going to compete in, whether that's fighting or on the Olympic track or whatever, and then faff about enough, Steve, I delay as much as they possibly can, go off and hydrate like motherfuckers, pee out as much as they possibly can, and so on and so forth, so that their suspension has cleared the system. This is certainly what used to happen. And then when they are required to be tested, when the tester finally catches up with them, the product that they've used has cleared their system. And then they hydrate some more, pee some more, pee in a cup, give a blood sample, fingers crossed, pass the test. And of course, testing's got a lot better. This is what used to happen, and to some degree still does happen. Equally, like Steve says, the far end of that would be the TRT example that I gave earlier on. I'm not going to have a tester running around after me. I certainly don't want to be injected several times a day, every 3 or 4 hours, through the fucking night, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the example of being able to do engaged TRT, something that I only have to inject once a week, once a fortnight, once a month, is absolutely fantastic. Now, why have we got all the other S's in between? Well, it's, again, simple. Okay, so if you're a competing bodybuilder or even just someone that wants to look good for the beach, you don't want to be starting injecting in January for a holiday in December. That wouldn't make any fucking sense. And equally, there's other things going on. You might be doing multiple cycles, and there might be parts of the training that you do for the year. For example, if you play in American football or soccer or whatever else, when I need you to peak as an athlete at certain times of the year, but I also need you to be strong for this. You might be doing different things. You might be doing a triathlon. Steve's done triathlons back in the day. All of these athletic endeavors require different things. Your own endeavors in the gym might be bulking in the off season, competing in a strength competition in the spring, and then being ripped the fuck in the summer. And you will not be using the same esters, the same test forms of testosterone or other steroids all year round for those different things. So you have different approaches that are required. Therefore, you're looking for steroids that do different things. The example I gave earlier on, Steve, applies to the medical side. If you're a burns victim, you might be in hospital for a matter of weeks. Therefore, using a steroid that enables you to retain muscle tissue while you recover from the burn for a matter of weeks makes sense. Equally, you might be getting treatment for cancer, and that might mean months of treatment. So therefore, any steroid they're giving you to, again, help you maintain muscle tissue would need to be more long-acting. It makes sense in those situations. So again, you don't want, and especially someone that's already ill, Steve, having to go home and inject myself multiple times per day would make no sense. It's gonna be hard work when you're already ill. It would require more work if you were in hospital or have someone come around to you multiple times per day to inject and so on and so forth. Therefore, you can understand the sense of having different esters and therefore different half-lives on different forms of testosterone available to you because there are different things. The analogy we like to use sometimes, and I've used this phrase previously, is that you're using the same tools, but you're not necessarily fixing the same thing. It's the same as going into the cupboard and being able to make 2 or 3 meals out of the same list of vegetables. You vary the different ingredients, but they are the same base ingredients. You're making a different meal. It's a different approach. We have the options, and Belagos are given those options of multiple different esters and different half-lives to enable you to succeed in the endeavor that you've chosen for yourself. And again, it's specific. We will try to give you some examples of the kind of ways that you can run these, but I've used this example on a recent show, just one we recorded a couple of days ago, where I said, your specific requirements are what's important here, your physical condition, your aim, the length of time available to get into shape or achieve the target that you are, and so on and so forth. So for example, if someone had an event that was in 4 weeks' time, the approach, the ester, the half-life that was required would differ from someone that's got an event in 12 or 16 weeks' time, and so on. So that's the reason why we're doing a show. That's the reason why we're explaining it the way they're explaining it. And hopefully that all makes sense. But again, on the forums and certainly in the comments below, feel free to ask us questions. Back to you, Steve.
Yeah, so let me just preface this by saying with half-life, a lot of people don't understand the way half-life are. So if you take something, if something has a 10-day half-life, I'll just give you that example and make it simple. That doesn't mean after 10 days it's out of your system. That means after 10 days, half of what you pinned is out of your system. And then an additional 10 days after that, so it would be 20 days from when you originally pinned, half of that is out of your system. And then 30 days after you originally pinned, which is 10 days after that 20 days, half of that is left in your system. So it trickles out of your system, you see? On the flip side, to build up in your system, as you're injecting on a set schedule, the more you inject, the more builds up in your system until it gets to the point where there's as much leaving your system as going in. Once you get to that point, which is around 4 to 5 times the half-life, so that's then 10-day half-life, you're talking about 40 to 50 days until it reaches peak in your system. That's another thing that people can't grasp. I go back to the aspirin example.
As it cleared,
You know what I'm saying? The aspirin example, people don't understand that. Oh, the aspirin works within 30 minutes. Oh, it's out of my system after that. It's still going to be in your system. The aspirin only has a shorter, very, very short half-life. We're talking 10 days on some of these esters, or longer, 15 days, 16. We're going to get into that. So you got to get, you got to understand that. So once you hit the peak level, then it's flatline. Then when you stop using the steroids, this is another thing. This is interesting. Is people think, well, after I stop injecting, it's out of my system the next day. Of course not. But even smart people will assume, like, oh, it's got a 10-day half-life. That means after I stop injecting, after my 10-week cycle, it's out of my system in 10 days. No, it's not. Because remember what I said, 4 to 5 times the half-life. So it's going to take 40 to 50 days to even be out of your system. So, you know, it's still going to be working. This is why, like, the first time I used steroids, I didn't understand this either, because I was listening to some of these idiots, these old timers, and they don't update their information. They, like, still living in the 80s, right? And I didn't understand that. So I remember I ran my first cycle, and I was taking Sustanon because that's all my source had. And I stopped the cycle, and I was still making gains 3 to 4 weeks after my last injection. And I was like, man, what are we talking about? Like, I keep all my gains. I'm not only keeping my gains after cycle, but I'm making more gains after my cycle. Then a few weeks later, it takes about 7, 8 weeks, 9 weeks even for Sustanon to finally be out of your system. Because remember, Sustanon contains a very long degonane ester, which is, we're going to go over those esters in a second, and I'll explain it further. But after about 8, 9 weeks from my last injection, then the crash hit, and the party started, right? I was crashing so hard, my libido went from sky high to just crashed. I was having a hard time being motivated and all this stuff because I wasn't running a proper PCT either. Again, I got bad information. So this is stuff we have to learn. We have to learn what these esters are all about. So let's just jump into the esters, Mobster, and kind of go over. So I was talking about testosterone suspension before Mobster jumped in on the last segment. And it's called testosterone-based, and Bilagos does have a testosterone suspension option. And the half-life is considered 4 to 6 hours. So it's in and out of your system within a day. Like, you inject it. This is why people take it pre-workout. And this is why people like to use it. Let's say you're a professional athlete. You get tested. They call you up and they say, you know, Bill, you got to go on Tuesday to the lab and you got to get your test, doping test. So you're on testosterone suspension, right? So you just wouldn't take it for the next 2, 3 days. You don't take it. And then by the time you go and get your test done, it'll be out of your system. You see, that's the beauty part of using testosterone suspension. Does it have a purpose for anyone else? I don't think so. A lot of people let's say, well, Steve, you know, you can take a pre-workout. It's got a short half-life. It's going to be peaking your system quick and be out of your system. Okay, I agree with that. But why not just use any testosterone ester then? It's in your system peaking regardless. Okay, so I don't see the purpose of using testosterone suspension unless you're a tested athlete. So that's just my opinion on it. The other one is testosterone. You wanted to chime in on that, Mobster?
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with Stephen. Steve and I have talked about pre-workouts and the like. And I'm like, listen, guys, if your training's right, if your diet's right, and if your cycle is optimal, I can't see someone doing this and not being on cycle already, Steve. So why are you doing something like this to add to the cycle just to have that little bit better workout? You should be having a better workout anyway because of the cycle you're on. I can see that there's going to be an advantage in athletics, and I can see the advantage in fight type sports. and especially obviously if you're going to be tested. I can't see the real proper advantage above and beyond tweaking the dosage. I tend to think of training the night before training, Steve. So what I'm eating the night before, what I have for breakfast when I go to the gym in the morning, my cycle, you know, start visualizing the night before and, you know, what coffee I might have in the morning and so on and so forth. I can't then see me having to specifically boost the training above and beyond what I'd already done. I'd argue maybe, again, if I'm getting paid several hundreds of thousands of dollars per year and millions of dollars in some cases to fight and so on and so forth, and maybe, like, for example, I'm part of a team sport, then there might be some argument again. But for the majority of you, I can't see that you're going to gain more or be stronger or have a more muscular body by virtue of doing something to, quote-unquote, give you a boost, very short temporary boost, just before you go to the gym, over and above what else you're doing on cycle. If you was just doing this, just on the day of the workout, and you wasn't on cycle, then maybe, Steve. But otherwise, no. You're doing a cycle, your training should be optimal, your diet should be optimal. Make sure you're ready to go kick ass when you get to the gym. Maybe the only other element argument is, Steve, and I can, again, it's probably more psychological than physical, would be the poor bastards that are absolutely working their asses off at some god-awful job, stressed the fuck, et cetera, and they need that last extra percentage. But again, how many of us are in this sort of position? There's very few of us that are down at the foundry or at the coal mine or in the furnace or whatever else doing all the work that those few individuals do versus modern society when you think it's a lot easier. So I can't particularly see it. Obviously, there's a lot of other S-lists which we're going to get into now, Steve.
Next one we talk about is testosterone propionate. The half-life is 2 to 3 days. So what would be the purpose of using propionate? Now, most of you, I don't think propionate would be up your alley because you've got to inject this stuff like every other day or every, you know, 2.5 days or every 3 days. You probably get away with every 3 days even. Some people inject it every day. If you want the flexibility of having something in your system quicker peaking, so remember I said 4 to 5 days, 4 to 5 times the half-life. So let's say the half-life, worst case, is 3 days, okay? You're looking at, you know, 3 times 5 really? Is 15. That's what it's 15. Yeah. So about 2 weeks. So within 2 weeks, you'll be peaking in your system. And then on the flip side, when you stop using it, after 2 weeks, it'll be out of your system. So this is good for those of you who want to run a short cycle, 6 weeks or 8 week cycle. This would be good for you.
Steve, competing again when you've got 2 weeks to go to a competition. Yes. And you want to make sure certain steroids are out your system when you're introducing short arresters to manipulate the variables and bring you to a peak on the day.
You don't want testosterone in your system when you're going on stage because it does cause water retention. It causes fluid in the muscles and stuff like that. Yeah. You don't want to look any sort of fluffy. You want to be dry. So
we know professional bodybuilders and a few.
So what do competitors do at a competition? Explain it, what they do when they cut off testosterone. Go ahead.
What I was going to say here, Steve, this is a thing that sometimes we've seen. And again, I think sometimes is where the athlete themselves is either advising himself and coaching himself and the PED side themselves versus working with a good coach or a bad coach. So what you will sometimes see, and this is important for those of you that are listening, is where a person gets on stage and they look like they're 2 weeks out because they fucked up. They either fucked up by not doing enough cardio, they fucked up on the diet, they did something they should have done, they weren't getting ready long enough, or, as is the case here, they fucked up the PEDs. Something was still in the system, it didn't clear in time, they mistimed it, they miscalculated it, they relied on poor information, and here they are on stage. We know that the variables for top professional bodybuilders can be so fine that they can look shit in the morning and look amazing in the afternoon, or crap the day before for the pre-judging, and then for the night show, and I'm thinking specifically the Olympia here, the following day, look, miss the Saturday night. So this is where you will sometimes see the peak being super, super important. So like Steve says, you want these things out of your system and you want other things in your system that's going to bring you to a peak, as I said as well, on the particular day in question. It's something that amateur bodybuilders and people that have not competed before need to be aware of. They don't make all these mistakes and learn the hard way when we're giving you information now And hopefully you work with someone good to give you the good information now so that when you are on stage, you are in your best shape. Back to you, Steve.
Yeah, and like I said, the flexibility aspect with testosterone propionate, number one, and number two, if you want to keep a if you want to just do a short cycle where it's in and out of your system quicker, you'll start recovering quicker. So what I said first, it may not be a great option for most of you. And I kind of walk back that comment. I think if you're looking to do like a 10 or 12 week cycle, it might not be a good option necessarily, but it could be because it's in and out of your system quicker and you'll be able to recover quicker. You see, but it is more injections. Also, Belagas does a really good job with propionate. I want to be clear because propionate tends to hurt. So, and we're going to talk about the prop that they have in a second on the next segment. We're going to go over the different Belagas options that you can check out as well. So, but propionate tends to hurt. And because you're injecting it so often, it's a really literal pain in the ass, you know? So it's good that Belagas products are more smooth. So let's touch on the next one, Mobster. Let's get into Sustanon / Omnidrin. So this is a blend of four different testosterone options. And usually Sustanon comes in 250 mg/ml. And we're going to get into the Belagas options in a second, which are very fascinating because they have some really cool blends. Yeah. So with the Sustanon, typically it's 30 mg of test prop, 60 mg of testosterone phenylpropionate, 60 mg of test isocaprate, and 100 mg of decanate. So that would be this was designed. You know, Sustanon and Omnidrin were both designed for a reason, for TRT. So you want to inject a large amount in a short amount of time. So the different esters have different half-lives. So if you inject Sustanon, a large amount of Sustanon at once, you're getting a combination of different esters, but you're getting mostly longer esters. So you want to treat it like a longer ester. The way it was designed is each ester picks up after one another, and the more you inject it, it gets to a point where now it's peaking in your system after about 7, 8, 9 weeks. It's peaking in your system, and then now you're leveled off, and then you keep injecting it on a set schedule. Every 2 to 3 weeks, you would inject Sustanon, but you'd inject a larger amount. Now, if you wanted to use it in a typical steroid cycle, you wouldn't use it like that. You would probably want to inject it like once or twice a week, you know, because you're only running it 10 or 12 weeks, I'm assuming, you know? So it may not be a good option for those of you who want to run 10 or 12 week cycles, because again, it's going to be in your system like an extra 7, 8, 9 weeks after you stop. So if you run it for 10 weeks, it's going to take 7, 8, 9 weeks to really, truly be peaking in your system and another 7, 8, 9 weeks to be out of your system. So you never really get to enjoy it at peak levels for more than a couple weeks, you know? So really, I would save the Sustanon for someone who wants to do long-term TRT. That would be how I'd run the Sustanon. Now you got cypionate and enanthate. These are very similar. The half-life, I've seen anywhere from 5 or 6 days to 7, 8 days, even 10 or 12 days. And I've debated people on forums about this. There's different. Look, at the end of the day, we know that injecting CYP or E twice a week is fine on cycle. Once a week is fine. Even once every 10 days or 14 days is fine, especially with cypionate. We know that.
Yep.
All right. Because TRT clinics, these are the most popular given from TRT clinics, and nobody injects TRT unless something's wrong with you more than once a week. So we can argue semantics all we want. The point is they've got a long what's quote unquote longer esters than the propionate, for example. So that's how you use those. Phenylpropionate, I talked about it. It's one of the blends in Sustanon. It's an intermediate half-life, 3 to 4 days. I would say more 5 days. You have isocaprate, which is sort of a longer ester. The half-life listed as 7 to 9 days. Decanate, testosterone decanate. It's very important not to confuse deca, which is nandrolone deca, Decadurobolan, which has the deca ester attached to it, which is a long ester. No, don't confuse it when I'm saying testosterone decanate. Don't be like, oh, Steve's talking about deca. No, I'm not talking about what you would think as deca.
No.
I'm talking about the ester, which is called deca. So it's very important. But again, it's semantics and it's just confusion about this stuff. That's why we do these podcasts, right, Mobster? So that's a long half-life. Deca, I've seen, it's listed as 12 to 14 days. I've seen longer. I've seen 15, 16 days. So again, this is a long ester. The way it's designed was less injecting, but more amount. So you'd inject this every 2 weeks.
Let me jump in for 1 second here, Steve. I just want to talk about the variability in half-life and why there might be some confusion. And I thought about this on a show that you and I did before. So it's not that difficult, really, right? There's two parts to the problem. The first part is parroting of information. It's when Steve talks about arguing with people about half-lives and esters, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is thus, and it goes back to something you said earlier, Steve, I think either on this show or another show that we recorded. Information made available when I first came to training back in 1980, and I was probably reading about steroid use in 1990 and then forward from that time before I even began to use it, would have been based on shared information amongst different people in the industry, both users, dealers, manufacturers, and so on and so forth, right? And that information probably up until 1990, 2000 would have been parroted again. So you started to see information on half-lives and esters, et cetera, in articles, on bodybuilding magazines, start to see this kind of information online and so on and so forth again. Okay, so that then gets repeated. And every so often, someone will go off and do what we call research. And I don't mean 5 minutes of Googling, but that's really what we're talking about. And they'll see something that says, oh, this particular place said this. How old the information might be for that is, I don't know. The problem is also the difference between condition. A fat person from a skinny person, an in condition person, a muscular person, the half-life will vary. So we give you a range. We give you what we think is the general area that will affect most people in terms of the half-life. Let's move on to the actual products here, Steve.
All right, that's fine. So Belagas has different options, and we were looking over their list. It's quite impressive. They have a testosterone SIP 250 and 200. They have a test E 450 and 300. They have a testosterone probe 100. I mean, it's just the amount of stuff they have. So the test SIP 250 and 200, you have different options. You can do if 250 milligrams a milliliter or 200 milligrams a milliliter, and the test E have 450 milligrams a milliliter and 300 milligrams a milliliter. This is pretty cool stuff. So really, if you don't mind, you know, if you want to stay flexible, you can go the lower route. If you're set on your dose, let's say you just wanted to do 450 a week and be done with it, you can just do the test the 450, pin it once a week, and you're good to go. It'd be like a lot less injecting, you know? So it really depends on your strategy. The test Prop 100, I talked about propionate earlier. And this one, you know, the nice thing about the Belongas test Prop is, you know, guys who are using, I haven't used the Prop, their Prop personally. I've used their other testosterones, but I haven't used their Prop personally. It just doesn't fit what I'm trying to do. But a lot of people have said that it's got way less post-injection pain than other propionate, which is good because you have to inject it often, as we talked about earlier. Mobster?
Yeah, that's having also, I think a lot of labs, including Belagas, have got better and better and better at reducing post-injection pain from the use of the oils and the way that they produce the products. Basically, guys, they're just improving all the time, and they're obviously aware of their customer base, who's going to be using their products. And so anything they can do to manipulate the variables ever so slightly to reduce that post-injection pain, especially in a product that's going to be pinned a lot, as the companies like Belagas will do, and therefore obviously keep their customers happy. That's super, super important, Steve. I mean, I've just counted 10 off the top of my head here, Steve. Test 500 blend, which is test prop 60 milligrams, test phenyl prop 120 milligrams, test iso caprio 120 milligrams, and test decanate 200 milligrams. And they do another one, the test 400 blend, test prop 60 milligrams, test phenyl prop 120 milligrams, test ico caprio 120 milligrams, and the test decanate 100 milligrams. And again, I'm not a huge fan generally of the higher dosages, per milligram products. But again, Boligus and other companies are starting to produce products, which again, because of the higher dosage, you might get post-injection pain. Typically, especially a few years ago, that would be regular. I wouldn't be at all surprised. But we are seeing people, we know people that are using products with the higher dosage per milligram blends, and they're starting to see less issues again, purely and simply because the products have been improved all the time. Touch on a couple more, Steve.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about these two, the Test 500 blend, Test 400 blend. So with these two, the way the difference is with between the two, the Test 500 will be great for those of you who want to inject a larger amount very infrequently. So with the Test 500, let's say you want to do 500 milligrams a week, and you are basically blasting it for like 15 or 20 weeks, right? You're doing a blast like that. You could do 2 cc's every 2 weeks and just do 2 cc's into the muscle every 2 weeks. That's it. That's all you'd have to inject, you know? So just imagine you're injecting once every 2 weeks and you're getting 500 milligrams a week in your system. That's pretty cool. The Test 400 blend, you could also inject it once every 10 days. For example, you could do once every 10 days, 400 milligrams, and then that would be good as part of a cycle that you were doing, you know? So it would really cut back on injections. The idea is to kind of mimic the idea behind the Sustanon or the Omnidrene effect, where each ester picks up after another. And some of you are going to like the different blends. Some of you feel like your bodies are more in tune with different blends. You know, it feels better in your system or something like that, you know?
Absolutely, Steve. Yeah. I know for a fact, well, I've never been a great fan, but I know for a fact there are members of the forums that we were on that love the 400s and the 500s. Absolutely.
Next one is their Susta Test 250, it's called. Now, this one has 30 milligrams of test probe, 60 milligrams of test phenylpropionate, 60 milligrams of test ISO, and 100 milligrams of the test Decanate. So this is basically mimicking exactly Sustanon, the way Sustanon has traditionally been. So if you like Sustanon and you want to run the Sustanon 250.
This has got my name written all over it.
Yeah, this is for those of you who are into Sustanon for sure. They have another cool one. It's called Tri-Test Light 350. So listen closely on this one. It's Test E 200 milligrams, Test SIP 100 milligrams, and Test Probe 50 milligrams. I've never seen anything like this before. This is one of those ones that they came out with. And this is a really fascinating one, Mobster, because you've got three different esters on this one instead of four.
Yeah.
And you have a variation of esters, which is quite fascinating because you got the probe, test SIP, and test E. So I think this is a pretty cool one.
Do you know what, Steve? And I'm just looking at as you are, and you're going, right, well, how would I use this? I'll tell you what I would use this for, sports TRT. And what do I mean by that, listeners? Very literally, TRT, unfortunately, typically, anyway, proper TRT done at a clinic can be anywhere between 120 milligrams, sometimes a little less, up to about 200 milligrams. And then you might see very rarely from a clinic, and this would purely be for health purposes, the higher end might be 300 milligrams. Sports TRT tends to start at 300 milligrams and creeps up to 400 milligrams. I tell you what I would do with this, Steve. I would be running TRT already, and then for argument's sake, on TRT, I tend not to think of it as a blast, but this would be a blast. This would be me doing my TRT dose, and then because it's got enanthate and cypionate in it anyway, and then boosting it so that I peak to training or want to get in shape, et cetera, during the year, above and beyond my normal weekly, monthly TRT levels. I can see this being used for that specifically because it's almost perfect for that. Again, test E 200 milligrams, test SIP 100 milligrams, and test PROP 50 milligrams. I can see that being absolutely perfect for that. And I know that a couple of companies have done something similar. Go on.
And two, it's in your system because it's got a little bit of propionate. So for you guys who don't have patience, you'll feel that propionate within a few days, you know? So then you can kind of like get that sports TRT in your system, and it'd be, you'd really appreciate that. So that's a great concoction.
I like it a lot. It's certainly, they're very interested, and certainly maybe something, again, when you and I on TRT, when we've got certain particular points through the year that we want to get into shape for or whatever, peak in terms of performance, I could see us looking at something like this. Again, very quickly into the system and then long lasting in the system with the two Everestas. I like it.
And then the last one, test suspension, it's 100 milligrams a milliliter. So again, we talked about at the, earlier about test suspension. If you're a tested athlete, you know, you don't want to get caught or you're tested with your job for whatever reason, this would be an option for you. If you're obsessed with pre-workout, you want to take something pre-workout, you can try the test suspension. And that would be an option. So, but like I said, as you covered, no matter what you want, there's so many different options. So I'm so impressed by the different options that Lagas has. So let's get over, Mobster, you know, let's touch on cycling and dosing. What are some good ideas? Let's start with you. You know, why don't you touch on some powerlifting options you would do with the testosterones that we talked about and what you would stack them with Lagas? Because they have, Lagas has other anabolic steroids as well. They don't just have testosterone. They have just about everything you could ask for. So why don't you give us some ideas, and I'll touch on, and then maybe talk about some bulking ones too, and I'll touch on some cutting ideas.
I can see myself using something like Test Prop, Steve, and only in terms of powerlifting and peak performance. So the shorter acting SSCA specifically, and the reason for that is thus, you would be using long acting SSCA. And the regular listeners know that I'm a great fan of Sust and Decker to bulk up. But in terms of, and the reason I do that for is me, the bigger I am, the better leverage I have on joints. That includes squatting down for squats, obviously, bench pressing, pressing overhead, moving heavy weights around, the tricep stuff that Steve's talked about in previous shows, and so on and so forth. Test Prop and products like that, with a shorter acting finger bobbers, tend to be more aggressive and slightly irritating in the system. And so you would see powerlifters using products like Test Prop, especially in the last few days before a competition, Steve, and even sometimes on the day of a competition. We touched upon the idea of using it as a pre-workout. That's a little bit different. That's training. In terms of out and out performance on the day of a competition, you want something that's in there and kind of aggressive and a relatively short out half-life, especially if you're not being tested, to absolutely boost yourself to the absolute peak you possibly can. So something like that, Steve. As I said earlier on, definitely with other products. So for example, Anaval, which they of course produce a version of as an oral, would perform the bulk for me. And as regular listeners knows, again, I'm a big fan of Anaval in terms of boosting my strength 5% and sometimes as much as 10%. And then, for example, using a prop on the day of a competition or the day not before a competition. I can absolutely see me doing something like that. So, you know, stuff like that, Steve. What else are we talking about here? I mean, powerlifting tends to be towards the great and most vast majority of strength athletes, for that matter, tend to be weight limited. I'm a super heavyweight. I don't have to worry about those bloody things. I don't have to make a certain particular weight. And indeed, the only advantage I get is if it's a tie between me and someone else, the lighter, younger, or sort of the lighter, older, etc. athlete tends to win if it's a two-way tie. So stuff like that, Steve.
Talk about some of the Lagas products for bulking that you like specifically.
Oh, I mean, look, Steve, look. You and I both know this. I'm a huge fan of Dynabol for bulking. I'm a huge fan of Sustanon blends, like the Sus product that they've got there. Huge fan of Deca for bulking. Absolutely.
How would you use? Let's go with D-Bol, Test, and
let's give you some examples. Like D-Bol, Steve, I pretty much have never needed to run it more than 30 milligrams a day. And most of the time for D-Bol, it's nearly always, certainly my early days of training, run it solo. I've given you the Sustan Decker cycle quite simply. I have run more, and that would be the pre-Christmas bulk. But for most of my Sustan Decker cycles, the total would be under 800 milligrams, around about 350 to 400 of each. And I've always worked that out in terms, because of the half-lives, it was more me getting a calculator and working out how much I was having over a 7-day period. But in fact, because I was pinning twice a week, Monday and Thursday, it was actually slightly more, but you'd calculate it down to the 7 days. So I've always found for me around the 700 milligram total was perfect. I have run slightly more, and as you know, Steve, hit 336 pounds before Christmas, running slightly more. But that was actually a little bit uncomfortable. So sub 900. And I'm also a huge fan of trying to keep most of my cycles under a gram anyway. One of the ones I will talk about in terms of people running, and I know that it's going to be a bulker as well as a muscle retainer for some people, would be Anadrol. And ironically, Anadrol typically would be people using around 50 milligrams, although medically speaking, as high as 100 milligrams, but again, specific medical reasons. But I know people, especially if it's the first cycle they've ever done, they get into, I've heard of crazy gains like 20 pounds on those particular cycles. So yeah, Bulaga's products would be absolutely fantastic in that particular example. Something else, Steve, I want to touch on this as well. And I'm just looking at the Bulaga's website as we're talking about these things, and I'll quote them specifically. And this is for the listeners that are not familiar with the product. 120 hormone and peptide products. I think Steve and I were quite surprised at the difference just in the testosterones. I mean, that was quite surprising, Steve, to say the least. I mean, let me look at it. I'm talking about you, I know, are an absolute massive fan on, and they do a product here called Tren Test Mast Short 150. So that to me would be a recomposition and muscle retaining product, to say the least. So you're a huge fan. Talk about Tren, Steve.
Yeah, and they have different Tren, and they have different Tren blends that you can choose from. So Tren is one of those steroids where I've seen people, even on a shitty diet, you know, they're following the whole IFYM. If it fits your macros, they're eating fast food, they're eating McDonald's, all this stuff. They go on trend and they still shred up on trend. So it can be a great cutter. I'm not saying go and eat shitty on trend. Imagine those same people if they eat good. So always eat good. But I'm just telling you, that's how effective trend can be. But trend is also great for your end of the aisle too, Mops. Yeah, so when it comes to strength and bulking, it can be great for strength and bulking as well. But for cutting, you can do Tren. The Bulaga's Tren is excellent. You could do the Bulaga's Blend, which is a combination of things. I like the Masteron, Bulaga's Masteron. They have different Masteron options.
So, yes. That's
they have
a
different
muscle one, yeah.
Anavar options. They have Bulaga's Masteron options. They have Bulaga's Primobol options. And they have something really for everybody with the Equipoise, Bulaga's Equipoise. It's called Quant Equipoise 300, and they have a Quant Equipoise 500. So this is really good for people who don't like to inject very often. So you could stack that Equipoise 500 with the 450 test either they have, or the Sustanon 500 that they have, and you wouldn't have to be injecting very much. You can inject these once every 2 weeks, and you could do 2 cc's, boom, in one muscle, and 2 cc's, boom, in the other muscle every 2 weeks, and you'd be done. You'd be good to go. So that's awesome. So you'd be doing 4 injections a month, and you'd be getting over a gram or more of gear into your system, you know, per week. So that's a plenty for a cycle. So you could do that. So they have you covered across the board. And Equipoise is good for everything. You can bulk on Equipoise, you can cut on Equipoise, you can get stronger on Equipoise. There's a lot of different options, just depending on how you use Equipoise. So they have you covered. I'm going through the blends that Bulaga's has, Mops. They're so impressive. You mentioned, you know, I'm looking at the Tren Test Mass Long 300, and I think you mentioned the Tren Test Mass Short 150. I can go through here and just go over the different things. So you've got short esters and you got long esters. They have, you know, the Tri-Trenbolone 150, which is a blend of Trenbolone. They have Anavar. They have Winstrol. They have so many different things on here. Their Primobolone, I really like their Primobolone because it's 200 milligram a milliliter. So that's not that common. They also have a Test Tren Boldenone, which is Equipoise blend 400. So they have
that's the one I'm looking at right now, Steve. Yeah.
They have everything you could possibly want. So you can either buy the steroids individually and stack them, or you can buy one of their blends, which is already stacked together for you. And then that would be really, really cool to do. So look, they have you covered no matter what you want to do. This is one of the reasons, and this gets into our next segment talking about why we like Bulaga's, is the different type of options they have, because they listen to their customers. Their customers are like, hey, can you do a blend of this? And they're like, fuck yeah, we'll do a blend of this. No problem. Give it, you know, and then boom, you look at their website a couple months later and it's there. You know, so they know what their customers like, and they do the blends we like.
Yes.
Tell us why you like
Yes.
Bodegas Mobster as we finish out the.
Yeah, let me just expand on what Steve just said, right? So I know that there are users of PEDs that like to mix these things up, and sometimes they like the idea. They somehow imagine it's safer or more reliable if I buy X and Y and I put them together in the syringe and inject it myself. The reality of the situation is thus. Bodegas and companies like Bodegas, they will take products and say, listen, this is what people use our products for. And we know that they're going to be using X and Y to achieve this particular result. Let's say it's testosterone and tren, like we just talked about. I mean, we know that this is a super common cycle. We know that the great and vast majority of users are going to use this amount. So why don't we produce a product that has exactly that amount in preparation, sterile, high quality, and put that to the market and see how well it sells? Because quite simply, people are buying it, using it, and getting great success from it. I'm on the lab results stage, and I talk about this with shows that we talk about like this all the time, right? I like you. Listen, if you want to know if a site's any good or not, if a brand's any good or not, if a lab's any good or not, ask to see their certificates of analysis. Now, some companies will send you a screenshot or whatever else, okay? I want to see this stuff for myself. I shouldn't even have to ask you. And so companies like Bodegas, and I'm looking at their page right now, Steve, lab reports, have these things for you. You can go on and click on that link and see the lab results, see the lab reports right in front of you. You can have in-house testing, out-of-house testing. You can have even independent testing, which Steve and I have talked about when we say members of the forums have used their own money to buy products from different approved sources, from different resellers that we talk about, including companies like Bodegas. Take their products, 10 random products was one example, and was unable to quote unquote fail them. In fact, the member was honest enough to turn around and say, I expected at least one, maybe two of the products to not pass the test, to be either underdosed or the wrong ingredient, the wrong compound entirely. And none of them failed. Bodegas is a huge Belgian company, a proper pharmaceutical company based in Belgium. They've been doing this for a long ass time, and they know their shit, to put it crudely. You can go, let me click on one example right here, Steve. I'm just going to do this while we're talking to the listeners. This is, I believe, while we're waiting for it to load, Tritest. It's Tritest 350 milligrams per mil. And this is what these are the results. I'll read them out to you, and there's an actual picture of the samples that they had. Testosterone enanthate, 200 milligrams, came in at 199.34 milligrams, Steve. Testosterone cypionate 100 milligrams came at 99.52. And testosterone propionate 50 milligrams came at 50.05. I think Steve and I would both agree on this, that there is an acceptable deviation allowed in all pharmaceutical companies, plus or minus 5%. And you would know, as you've just heard me say it, Steve, every single one of these, the tri, the test, the enanthate, the cypionate, and propionate, are well within the 5%. In fact, looking at these numbers, Steve, it's about one, between half of 1% deviation. So there we go. Listen, they have everything you need and more. I'm talking about 120 products. If check their site out, have a look at what you think, certainly check out their testosterone options. And hopefully, if there's any questions you've got in regards to what esters and half-lives and so on and so forth, please feel free to come onto the forums, post in the comments below. Let us know your questions. See if we can expand it. We can always do another show just to let you know. Please note, we are not doctoring any opinions of ours. It's our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.